it's just meditating upon the fact that the Lord Jesus there on the cross has suffered for me, and just meditating and feeding upon what he has done for me, and that should have changes afterwards.
Good. Make sure we speak up a little bit for the benefit of those in the back. But yes, very good, very good.
What else? Sorry, Steve, you were going to say that, weren't you?
I was, but...
We look at who he was, and we see what he became for us, because we were sinners.
Very good.
And how can we be prideful when he was the Son of the Most High, and he came down to this earth and left the splendors of heaven?
Very good.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, very, very practically, right? Is it enough to just think about it? To just sit and think, because you know we know what happened. If you're saved and you know that the Lord Jesus died on the cross for you, is it enough to just sit around and think, you know, let me think again of what happened, or you know, recount it in your mind? Or I mean, is practically speaking, are we just literally supposed to sit and turn to the scriptures, go to John 19, Luke 22, Isaiah 53, Psalm 22, things like that? Is that meditate?
I think that's what Tim means, but I'll see if it...
Yeah. Well, I mean more than that, because that will have an impact, and that will have an effect. That's an inside joke. We were talking about something yesterday. That will have an effect on our lives. For instance, I come and I get occupied with the cross. And by the way, I'd like to make a suggestion that we get occupied not only what he's done for us, but I'd like to suggest that we also get occupied with what he's done for God.
Yeah.
Not just our side of things, but God's side of things. And what an insight that'll bring us. But as we get occupied with those passages of scriptures that Sammy mentioned, and we start to look into the sufferings of Christ on the cross, and we start to muse over Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53, it should have an effect on our lives, and it should make an impact. And the Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, for example, that I'm crucified
to the world.
He says, somebody help me out, chapter 6, verse 14.
I'm crucified to the world.
There it is. God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of Christ, in through whom I'm crucified to the world and the world to me. And that's the impact of, and that's because Paul was occupied. He never lost sight of the grace of God, which was displayed on the cross of Calvary. And that's what I think I mean by meditate. It's not just sit and say, oh, isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
But it's to allow that, to allow the Spirit of God to take the deep things of God, and as we have in this passage, and to work in our life, work in our hearts, and work in our consciences as well as our hearts. Because both, we have both. We have a conscience that needs to be pricked. We have a heart that needs to be affected. Our affections for Christ need to be touched, but our conscience as well. And the sufferings of Christ will do that.
Yeah. Wendy, just as a relation to that, I don't know if this touches exactly, Sammy, on your question, but when the brothers of Joseph were in the presence of Joseph, except they didn't know it was him yet, in Egypt, they said to one another, after Joseph kind of treated them harshly and put one of them in prison and made them, you know, talk about their family history, and you can't come back unless you bring your youngest brother. They said to each other, this has happened to us, I'm paraphrasing, because we heard the anguish, we saw the anguish of his soul, because of what we did to our brother Joseph, when we saw the anguish of his soul, and we didn't hear. We didn't respond to that. Now, the suffering of the Lord Jesus, you notice that in the Gospels, even the physical suffering gets much more treatment than the spiritual suffering at the hands of God, because it cannot be described. But even the physical suffering, to consider that he went through that, it should move our hearts. He endured the physical sufferings for us. But then, as Tim mentioned, and those thoughts are even deeper, really, than just to appreciate the physical suffering. But there is a reason for the physical suffering to be before us. It's to endear him to our hearts even more, that he endured even those things. I mean, that's something we can relate to. We can't relate to the spiritual sufferings. We couldn't possibly fathom what it is to resist unto blood, striving against sin. But we understand what it is to suffer some pain. And at least that we can touch on. We can make a relationship to that in our minds. And then to just realize spiritually it was even beyond that. That meditative experience does have that result. Very good. Any other comments or questions? We have a few other thoughts to consider, but I'd like to leave it open. Comments, questions, help.
Well, treading lightly, wouldn't it be true to say...
a little louder.
I'm going to tread lightly here, but I just had a question because it's not only Christ as having died for us, but also his sacrifice to the Father. Would it... I think the two would absolutely have to be inseparable because as we see in the garden, there's not my will, but thy will be done. And had there not been the focus on the Father as well and his will, I don't see how the two could possibly be separated. And Christ wouldn't have died on the cross for our sins.
Very good. What has been accomplished through the death of Christ is so vast that we cannot really, like you say, we can't exhaust it. To look in Colossians where it says that by whom we were reconciled unto God, so he has reconciled us, but even he's going to reconcile all things to God. So in the future, everything that's going to happen for the glory of God, even in the future, even during the kingdom age and the eternal state, is because of Christ. So, yeah. Very good. It's tremendous to think of all the wide-reaching topics of doctrine that grow out of the death of Christ. Okay, I'd like to conclude our time together with a few specific examples of people in the Scriptures that have had this experience. We touched on it a little bit in the beginning as we talked about our response in general. But let's turn, please, to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, and perhaps we could have a brother read verses 1 through 6. I won't make you talk about it if you read it, but if somebody could read that out for us.
Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert. Came to the mountain of God.
That's right. Yeah, you can go.
Want me to take it?
Sure, go ahead. Verse 2.
And the angel of the Lord appeared unto them in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see. God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon.